So, because you love me, I'm going to do something I've been wanting to do for a long time. I'm a part of a ragtag group of do-gooders in Galleon called the Kiwanis Club. And they've ruined me. They introduced me to something that I think is very special. Every fifth Tuesday, they have Venting Tuesday. We get together and we're asked to go in a row and vent about something that's bothering us. I've never had a public group do that. It's so fun. I mean, you never have any lack of something to say after someone starts telling you how it peeves them off that so-and-so does this. It's not a gossipy thing. It's more like, you know, I griped last fifth Tuesday, which was last week, about skinny jeans going out of style after I finally bought some. You would not believe the conversation that ensued. So in the spirit of Kiwanis Club Venting Tuesdays, I'm going to vent. So I got this bill in the mail this last week in the church, okay? It was to my pastor's account, a company that I do business with and have actually worked for in the past. And the bill didn't surprise me, but what stopped me in my tracks? It was addressed to Joseph Cole. Have you ever been mistaken for someone else? Probably, but not as much as I have. All my life, I've been called Joe. Joseph. Hey there. Yeah, twin. I remember that now. Thanks for bringing that up. Thanks for opening the wound and pouring salt on it. Here, let me give you a lemon and squeeze it onto it. But I thought to myself, man, even this company is thinking I'm Joseph. He lives in Mexico. They haven't seen Joseph in like over 12 years. Like, why is his name on this? And then it dawned on me, I've actually tried to trick people into thinking I'm Joe. Okay, confession time. I was in elementary school, and my brother and I, Joseph, I have a twin, by the way, for those of you who don't know me really well. I have a twin. He's 2 minutes younger than me, but he looks darn like me. And we're not apparently identical, but we look a lot alike. So in elementary school, we thought it'd be funny if we switch shirts in the middle of the day and find out who noticed. And to our amusement, I don't remember any of my teachers ever noticing. And since I was already trained to respond to the name Joseph anyway, it worked. It worked. I remember one time getting chased out of the church by my mother, who was yelling at me, grabbed hold of me, and started scolding me for something I didn't do, and then proceeded to spank me outside of the church doors. After she was done, she saw my brother walking by and realized she had spanked the wrong son. I was around 8, and I still to this day, precocious children, you gotta love them, but I still remember asking her, If I could have, like, a rain check for later, like, does this apply when I actually do something wrong that I get out of a spanking? But, you know, that my experience with my brother, and I do love my brother, by the way. I don't mind it if people mistake me on the bill for Joseph. That's just, it's just a fun gripe that I have. I always notice it. But, well, my grandma still calls me Joseph. Anyway. But it's not much that different than what all of us are really experiencing, because I think you know what it feels like to be mistaken for someone else. You really do. You see the disappointment in their eyes when you're not who they were expecting. Maybe you haven't been mistaken for another person entirely like me, but I know people have thought you were going to show up a certain way and then you didn't. I know that people thought you would be this person for them, and then you weren't, and you can see the disappointment in their eyes. I know that sometimes you wish people would take the time to know you instead of the person they want you to be. I know that bothers you. You just wish that they would take the time to listen to what you're actually saying instead of what they think you're saying. Because they're taking you for a whole other person. I know some of you are tired of being treated like someone's ex. I know one person in particular, I have a distinct memory where he was telling me about the abuse that he had encountered with a couple pastors in his life. And I remember looking at him right in the middle of conversation and saying, I'm not them. I'm not them. But a lot of us are getting treated like someone completely different because that person has been through stuff. And I'm also sure that you were tempted to hide who you are like I was when I switched shirts with my brother. I know that you have thoughts that if you were more blank, you'd be liked more, you'd be happier, you'd be blessed. If only you could speak like so-and-so, if only you could look like so-and-so, if only you could do, you know, make sourdough bread like so-and-so, if only you could make money like so-and-so, you know, you'd be happy, you just wish you could just switch shirts and then everybody thinks you're so-and-so. And I know you act sometimes and you talk like someone else to convince them that you're someone that you're not. I know you do. I know that because I do it. Every once in a while I catch myself talking a certain way and then I leave the meeting. I'm like, stupid, you never talk like that. Where did that accent come from? I'm serious. Like, my wife has even caught me doing this. Like, if I go down to North Carolina and visit some good friends at a church and they have that southern kind of flavor to their, eventually I start sharing it with them. And Audrey will get in the car with me. What in the world? You do not come from the south. And I know, right? But, like, I just start to think and act because I think that maybe they need me to be someone else. You know? I do this, have stopped myself from doing this, but there have been many times I didn't think that I was Pentecostal enough for some people. Like, you start talking to some ministers, and in my profession, you do start feeling less than if you don't have all these stories of how people fell out in the Spirit, or if you don't have jerks when you preach. And I'm not joking. And you don't have these witty sayings when you don't get responses back, you know? Like, oh, it's getting awful quiet in here. And then I start talking like that. But the problem is, when you hide who you are, you create terrible confusion. Not just for the people that you're trying to impress, but in you. Do you like you or not? Your soul is begging to know. Do you like me? Are you embarrassed by me? And you create confusion in you about who you really are. Am I that or am I not that? You create anxiety because if you're confused, anything that's not clear creates anxiety because you can't see it clearly. You don't know what you're dealing with. You begin distrusting yourself. Other people distrust you because they see you one way with one person and another way with another. And it makes decision-making agonizing. A lot of you are so tired of making decisions because you feel decision-weary. And a lot of that's because you just haven't actually made a decision to be one person. And you're trying to impress so many people. And you're trying to hide. Do you go or not go? Do you give or not give? Don't you hate that nowadays? You put your card in the card reader, and then it says, do you want a tip? So, like, I've often wondered, like, why is everybody asking for tips nowadays? I came to your pizza shop to pick up my pizza. Why am I tipping you? What did you do that was extra special for my pizza? Should I tip you to be nice to me? I mean, and the list goes on and on. Now, drive-through windows at fast food restaurants are asking you to tip them. My gosh, you're already making $15 an hour. Do you give or don't give? Are you going to be that person or not? Do you or don't you? All of these agonizing decisions, this job, that position, that company, that client, date this person, trust that person. And we're constantly redeciding. So hiding who you are has very few benefits. It seems like such a good idea at the time, but it leads to regret. Some of us are waking up and saying, I don't even know who I am anymore. And we wish other people knew us for the real us, but they can't if we're hiding who we are. And so how do we stop that? I'm going to answer that, but first, I think we need to go to the scriptures and see a story of this actually happening and learn from it. And that's Genesis 27. We're going to start at the very beginning of Genesis 27. This is going to show us where all this hiding comes from. One day, when Isaac was old and turning blind, he called for Esau, his older son, and said, "My son." "Yes, father," Esau replied. "I am an old man now," Isaac said, "and I don't know when I may die. Take your bow and a quiver full of arrows and go out into the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare my favorite dish and bring it here for me to eat. Then I will pronounce the blessing that belongs to you, my firstborn son, before I die." This was a really big deal. See, back then, the blessing meant that the father was transferring leadership of the tribe to his son. The leadership of the father was being transferred over. And with that leadership came the ability to decide when the inheritance was distributed. This is important. Why? Because he gave away his inheritance to his brother, Jacob. Do you remember that? He gave away all the money his dad was going to leave him and all the flocks and herds his dad was going to leave him to his little brother because he was what the New Testament calls profane. He despised his birthright and gave it to his brother for a bowl of soup because he was hangry. He wasn't worthy of the inheritance at all. But if he got leadership of the tribe, he could decide when the inheritance was split up, if at all. He could keep it for himself. Let's read on to see what happened. But Rebekah, this is Isaac's wife, overheard what Isaac had said to his son Esau. So when Esau left to hunt for the wild game, she said to her son Jacob, "Listen, I overheard your father say to Esau, 'Bring me some wild game and prepare me a delicious meal. Then I'm going to bless you in the Lord's presence before I die.' Now, my son, listen to me. Do exactly as I tell you. Go out to the flocks, bring me two fine young goats, and I'll use them to prepare your father's favorite dish. Then take the food to your father so he can eat it and bless you before he dies." "But look," Jacob replied to Rebekah, "my brother Esau is a hairy man, and my skin is smooth. What if my father touches me? He'll see I'm trying to trick him, and then he's going to curse me instead of blessing me." But his mother replied, "Then let the curse fall on me, my son. Just do what I tell you. Get out there and get the goats for me." Terrible mom. But I understand. I can understand why she'd be livid. You see, the blessing, the transferring of leadership, was supposed to be a family affair. If you read about how Jacob did it at the end of his days, you'll see that he invites all of the family. All the brothers, all the sisters, everybody. They all were there to witness. Isaac is doing it in private. It's their secrets. between husband and wife. She wasn't included. He was going to do this for Esau because of favoritism. And so we see here a family in dysfunction, a wife who's willing to deceive her husband, and children that are willing to go along with the scheme. Why? I'm going to show you something that's very important. This might help you out quite a bit. Go ahead and show them this cycle. If the avoidance of clarity and connection are happening in your family, it creates in you a sense of danger. You are not safe. That causes you to distrust the people of your family. That leads you to withholding information from your mom, your dad, siblings, husband, wife. And this happens in organizations across the planet. If you feel like you're in danger, you don't trust. If you don't trust, you keep secrets. And then what does that do? It destroys whatever family or organization you're in. Secrets erode the actual organization itself, the family itself. Your family's deceit and avoidance of connection or clarification creates a fear being known. So as children, we're constantly asking our dad, hey, look at this. Dad, hear this new joke. Dad, look what I did. Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. 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 You mothers know the same thing's true, right? Mom. 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 I mean, when anything's wrong, Mom. 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 But then you also know as children what happens when your parents are avoiding connecting with you for whatever reason. They may think it's good for you. Or they're avoiding clarifying where they're coming from or what's actually going on. And that spirit of disconnection and unclarity creates danger. Because the child does not feel stable or safe. No one in a family system like that feels safe. Not truly. So they then start thinking the other person has bad motivations for what they're doing. So then they withhold information from the other person. And then it starts to destroy the whole system. We're trained to hide. Just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden were so afraid of their destruction, they thought that fig leaves could fix it. And our secrets in our families are like fig leaves of trying to fix things by withholding information and hiding. And so then we grow up and we learn how to lie. We learn how to lie to our souls. We learn how to lie to people in our organizations and on our jobs, pretending to be better than we are or worse than we are. A lot of us are so good at pretending that we are so much worse than other people that we don't even know our value. We don't even know our contribution. We can't even stick up for ourselves because we're so ingrained that if you just pretend like you're not as good, that you don't have the skills, that you have nothing to contribute, then you can't be in danger. It's wrong, though. Because the danger comes when your hiding leads to destruction. This is a terrible place for a family to be in, but you all understand this because at some point our families have not followed Jesus Christ's example. They have not lived in connection. They have not lived with us in clarity like Christ is calling us to. This is why I feel very strongly about, you know, in the family, having meals together consistently. In the family, if you do something wrong, apologize. Explain what's going on, but don't blame it on the person who got wronged. Connect, connect, connect. Make clear. Why? Because you want to make everyone in that family system truly safe. so that there's an openness in the family, so that everyone understands what's going on. Let's look at what happens to this family in this dysfunctional cycle. 14. So Jacob went out, got the young goats for his mom. Rebekah took them and prepared a meal just the way Isaac liked it. And then she took Esau's favorite clothes, which were in the house, and gave them to her younger son, Jacob. This just keeps getting worse. She pulled a Josh and switched his clothes. She covered his arms and the smooth part of his neck with the skin of the young goats. She gave Jacob the delicious meal, including freshly baked bread. And so Jacob took the food to his father and said, "My father, yes, my son," Isaac answered. "Who are you, Esau or Jacob?" What does that matter? A lot. Because Isaac has secrets. And he's willing to say some things to Esau, but not to Jacob. Jacob replied, "It's Esau, your firstborn son. I've done as you told me. Here's the wild game. Now sit up and eat it so you can give me your blessing. I'm not me, so you can love me. I'm not me, so you can trust me." And Isaac asked, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God put it in my path." Oh, so bring God into your deceit. Take the Lord's name in vain. Oh, okay. I'm not me, so God does great things in me. I'm not me, so he could do this. 21. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come closer so I can touch you and make sure that you're really Esau." See the secrets? See the distrust? So Jacob went closer to his father, and Isaac touched him. "The voice is Jacob's, but the hands are Esau's," Isaac said out loud, telling him, "I don't trust you." But he did not recognize Jacob because Jacob's hands felt hairy, just like Esau's. We are all blind to deception because we want to believe. That's why we get away with hiding. Because when you pretend like you don't care, we actually believe you. When you pretend like you have nothing to show, nothing to add value to, we all believe you. We all look at you and say, "Well, it seems like you could help. It seems like you could contribute. It seems like you'd be a good person." But then when you react with casual, "I don't care" attitudes, non-commitments, anger, fear, shyness, we all actually doubt ourselves and say, "Well, I guess they're shy. I guess they don't have anything. I guess they don't want us. I guess they don't want me." Oh yeah, we can trick people. We can hide really well. So Isaac prepared to bless Jacob. "But are you really my son, Esau?" Do you feel that confusion? "Yes, I am," Jacob replied. Can you imagine him sweating by this time? And Isaac said, "Now my son, bring me the wild game. Let me eat it, and then I'm going to give you my blessing." So Jacob took the food to his father. Isaac ate it, and he drank the wine that Jacob served him. And Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come a little closer and kiss me, my son." So Jacob went over and kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, even his sign of affection was a ruse to figure out if he could trust this person. And he was finally convinced, and he blessed his son and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of the outdoors, which the Lord has blessed." Not the smell of the indoors that God has not blessed. Not the smell of a leader or a servant in the house or a helper. No, a smell of a man. A smell of an outdoorsman. And obviously, God's blessed that. But Jacob has no inner assurance from his father that Isaac even thinks that God likes him. Maybe you relate. Maybe you get that. Maybe you know what that's like. How do you stop hiding when your past is like that? How do you be you and like you if that's what you've encountered in churches, families, jobs? Your boss likes you this way, but not you. You can be anything but you because that's not acceptable here. And a lot of churches, we feel that way too, where we've been in that church and you're allowed to be anybody except you. So I'm going to show you how to stop hiding if that's what you want. If you want to stop trying to trick your Heavenly Father and tricking other people, here's how you do it. You get fed up. You get fed up trying to be somebody else. You get fed up with lying. You get fed up with the secrets and the destruction happening to you and your family because you're not being honest. You're not showing up. Getting fed up will empower you to stop minimizing the pain you're in. You are really actually suffering whenever you hide who you are and what's going on in your heart. You think you're protecting yourself, but you're actually cutting yourself up. Because every time you make yourself into something else so that someone else can tolerate you, like you, or move on with you, what you're doing is you're rejecting yourself. You are not owning up to what's really in your heart. And if you won't love yourself, who's going to? Stop minimizing the pain of hiding. Get fed up with it. I'm fed up with the self-rejection. I'm fed up with always being someone else. Stop ignoring the consequences of distrust and secrets. See it for what it is. It doesn't matter how much you honor and respect the person who is keeping secrets. Isaac was the patriarch. He was the man of God. He was spoken to by God. And yet, he was doing wrong by his sons. Why the heck was he trying to pass leadership off to a guy who despised the very inheritance that Isaac worked his butt off to get him? Why? I don't know. But that's not good leadership. In fact, it sucks. Why is he hiding from his wife? Is he really that afraid of that woman who his father went to great pains to go get him? Why isn't this man owning up to his own problems and his own issues and his own family that he created? I don't know. But you know, it's easy for us to look at our leaders and our parents and our coworkers and all the other people that we're hiding from and make excuses for them. Well, this is why they're talking to me like this. They're better than me. I just need to be more of that or this. Maybe, maybe not. But if you don't stand up for yourself on the inside because you are just putting them on a pedestal, you will never be fed up with hiding and you're going to keep hiding. Getting fed up empowers you to stop protecting other people more than you in your own mind. Get fed up with hiding. God's will for you is not to live your life in a comfort zone where you never face danger. God's will for you is to be known as you are and how you are right now so that His grace can mold and shape you. But He can't shape a fake. He can't do it. And you can't love a fake. The second thing I'm telling you to do if you want to stop hiding is stop photoshopping. You know those photoshopping programs? They allow you to put your face on someone else's body. You've seen those dancing elves. The Christmas cards where they put people's faces and they photoshop them onto elves' bodies as they dance and say jingle bells or something. We're doing that a lot to people. We're putting the face of someone amazing and good and photoshopping them on people that are actually bad for us and have no business being trusted by us. But we're also taking the face of people who have done us wrong and photoshopping them onto the bodies of people who are in front of us, and we're treating them poorly. Like the man who was treating me poorly in our conversation because other pastors had done him dirty. He was, in his mind, in his subconscious, taking those pastors and projecting them on me. And so then all of his anger and all of his distrust was being thrown my way. If you want to stop hiding, you've got to stop projecting. You've got to stop putting the faces of other people onto the folks around you. You've got to know them for who they are. Stop projecting. Numbers 23:19 says something about this. God is not a man, so he does not lie. So stop putting the face of a man on God. Your father is not Father God. Your mom is not Father God. That pastor who spoke to you wrongly, he's not God. Stop putting that pastor's face on God. And stop putting God's face on that pastor's body. Amen. Poor guy. Everything I say needs to be passed by the light of Scripture and your good common sense. Don't ever take everything I say or do as gospel. You pass it by the word of truth, because I am not God. God is not a man that he should lie. Sometimes Josh lies. I don't do it on purpose most of the time. It's true. I am just a man, and we are prone to hiding. God is not. He is not human, it says. So he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Josh will fail you, your parents will fail you, your siblings will fail you, your friends will fail you, your economy will fail you, your government will fail you, your church will fail you. Everybody that's human will fail you, but not God. Stop putting their faces on him. And the last thing I want to tell you that will help you stop hiding is look at love. Look only at love. Focus on those who genuinely love you. They are your home base that makes all the vulnerability of being you safe. If you're going to be yourself, you need people around you who love you for you and aren't expecting you to act differently than you. Look at their love. It makes you safe. Focus on God's love. You don't have to trick God. You don't have to come up with all these schemes of how you're going to pray to him to get him to do what you want. You don't have to come to God any other way than what you're like right now. Just do it. Amen. You don't have to get dressed up like someone else, smell like someone else, act like someone else, talk like someone else, or do things like them. Just connect with God and look at his love for you, because you don't have to be your brother or your sister to get loved on by God. You don't have to trick him. He's got more than enough inheritance for all of us. You see me blessed, it's going to bless you. No more fighting amongst us. God's love is rich and deep. Ephesians 3:18 says this, may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. He's not keeping secrets from you. There are things you don't understand because you're a child. But it's not because your father has some scheme of shafting you. He's not Isaac. He's not all those people that screwed you over and let you down and did not come to your help. He's not them. His love for you is wide and deep, and you couldn't ever reach the bottom of it, even though you try to be the worst version of yourself. He still loves you. He still cares about you. Then you will be made complete. You will stop hiding. You will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Made complete. Scott, you can come on up. We're going to end in worship today, so I'm asking them to come up. But man, sit with these three things. Get fed up with hiding. Figure out who you are, how God's made you. I love it. Stop photoshopping. Stop making people better than they are or worse than they are. It's basically what that means. And then look at love. You know, maybe you can't trust your boss. Maybe you don't have friends at work. Maybe they're not good people to be close to. I get all that. But you know what? This church has some people that you could make good friends. And you could look at their love for you and get strength to go back to work the next day because maybe they treat you badly, but you're getting treated with respect here. Maybe you would even get a friend here at this church that would look you in the eye and say, I think you need to go get another job. And I think that they're going to hate it when you leave because they're going to lose a good worker. And then you might have the strength to love yourself enough to leave a job that's hurting you and go find a better one. Maybe. Maybe you'd have a friend here at this church that would look you in the eyes and say, I know that you don't think God loves you that much, but I'm proof that he does because I am still with you. And I'm not judging you. And then all of a sudden your faith level starts to rise in God. Your faith level starts to rise in Jesus because if a human being would love you, of course, Father, God loves you. So why don't you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray through this today. I don't have an exercise to run you through. To me, this is too deep. I think we're just going to pray and ask God to open our hearts to his love. And ask him to change us so we're done with getting other people's clothes on and pretending to be people we're not. And we believe him when he says he loves us. And we believe him when he says he has good things for us. Let us pray. Lord God, we come before you and we are so... we're so tired of hiding. And Father, I want your blessing. I know my friends want your blessing. We're so tired of feeling like that's beyond our reach. But somehow we just got to be so much better or different to get that blessing. And Father, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit come and heal the wounds of disconnection and fear from our past. God, that we could learn trust and learn how to get out of hiding. Father God, I pray that your love would shine through all the darkness in our hearts, that we could understand how wide, deep, long your love is for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and just worship together and let the Holy Spirit minister right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Just worship him right now. Go to him on your own right now. Hallelujah. You love us. Your love, your love, your love, your love, Jesus. Your blessing is on me. You love me. Your kindness leads me to repentance.
God so loved the world that he gave us his one.
I just feel right now that we're going to continue in this worshipful attitude. If you got to leave, I'm going to pray a blessing. But if you have to leave, please go get your child from class before you go. But don't dismiss classes yet, because I feel God is asking me to pray for you. If you have real bondage and you feel like I cannot escape this secrecy, I can't escape this facade or this mask and I'm always behind, I want to pray for you. And I'm going to ask the streaming team, when I give you the word, Dave, to shut that off so that if you come up to get prayer, you don't have to worry about being seen on Facebook. I think this is important. If God's leading me to this, then that means there's going to be deliverance. There's going to be healing in hearts. And I'm going to be asking prayer team members to come up and help me pray, okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus, to die for our sins, because he loves us as we were while we were sinners, not when we were perfect. And so today, chains are going to be broken of shame and of guilt and confusion from our past. But let me pray a blessing over you. And those of you who have to go, you can go. But those who want to stay, just pray for those being prayed for. And those of you who want prayer, come on forward. And we'll shut that stream off and we'll pray for you. Let us pray together. Lord God, I thank you for this moment. This is a defining moment for some of us. God, we're making decisions right now to open up our hearts like we've never opened up before. Father God, that we're letting the chips lie wherever they fall, Lord God. We're going to be ourselves with you. Take me this way or don't take me at all. Let me know that I am loved right now with what I have and where I've come from and what's been done to me and what I've done. Lord God, let me move forward from here. Let me stop hiding. And Father, I pray a blessing on every one of us, Lord God, that your love would follow us to our kitchen tables, into our living rooms, into our job offices, Lord God, that you would bless us everywhere, in Jesus' name.